Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Note verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Skip down to verse number 10 for the sake of time. And there was certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy servants at Jerusalem. Now, I don't think Ananias is questioning what God wants him to do, but I do think Ananias, just in his human flesh, is worried about what Paul will do or Saul will do to him when he sees him. If you remember and if you listen in the reading of the first of it, Saul was wanting to kill Christians. That was his whole intent of going to Damascus. Now, know what he says in verse number 14. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Lord, I love you today, and God, I stand in a place where in the arm of the flesh, I know I'm going to do nothing but fail. God, I know that there's nothing I can say and nothing I can do to help anybody today. But God, I sure know that over the past few days, you have sure burnt this in my heart. God, I pray that, Lord, that you would help me to relay to the people today, God, the things that I've studied and God, your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that people would get help from you today. God, I can't help them, but God, I know you can. God, I'm going to try my very best to get it to their ear this morning, but it's going to take you to put it in their heart. So, God, I pray that you would do that. I pray that when the invitation is given, God, that people, Lord, would not be reluctant to use the altar, but they would find their place in an altar getting help from you. We'll give you the glory for every bit of it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I've been preaching a series now for several weeks on Sunday mornings on I Know a Man Who Can't. This morning, I want to take a little bit of time and look into the life of the Apostle Paul and preach to you on this thought, I know a man who can salvage you. I know a man who can salvage you. In other words, it don't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. I know a man that can salvage you today. You're not a castaway. You're not a has-been. You're not somebody that's just washed up on the side and will never be used by God again. I know a man who can salvage you today. Whenever we come to this story of the Apostle Paul, I find it one of the most interesting stories in the entire Word of God. Matter of fact, whenever I done my bachelor's and my master's and my doctorate, I wrote all three of those papers on the life of the Apostle Paul. Whenever I study his life and whenever I begin to look at his life, it is a life that causes me to stand in great amazement at the grace of an Almighty God today. Whenever you look at the Apostle Paul, and whenever we're introduced to him right here, we know him as being Saul of Tarsus. And whenever you look at his life, it is a life and a man that we would say in the world's lies is a very unlikely candidate for the service of God. It's somebody that we would say would never be used by God. Whenever you look at his life and you look at the mess ups in his life and you look at the things that he'd done and all of his past, we would say, how in the world would God use a man like Paul? When we look at Paul, we may be tempted to think that he was some kind of super saint or he was some kind of super spiritual person. But really, when you look at the life of Saul, you'll find that he is just a human being just like you and I. Matter of fact, I think there's times when we read the Bible and we study the great people of the Bible, whether it be men or whether it be women, sometimes we wonder if they was some kind of superhero. But I want to say this to you today. All men are created equal today. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross today. And God said this, that he is no respecter of person. So what God has done for one, God will do for all. The problem does not lie in the ability of God or in the power of God, but the problem lies in our faith in believing that God can and will do it with us. But I want to say to you today, God can and God will do it with you. It doesn't matter your past. I'm glad that there is a God that can reach further down than you can reach up, and there is a God that can salvage your life today. When we look at Paul, sometimes we think that he may have been a super saint, but he definitely was not. Some may ask, can God really use my life? Well, I would like to answer the question today by taking a minute and looking into Paul's life and seeing who he was and how God used him. So I want to preach to you on I know a man who can salvage you today. Number one, I know a man who can salvage you no matter what your past condition may be. Your past condition is no obstacle for God to use you. Note again in verse number one, the Bible said this, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. According to Paul's own testimony, he was guilty of doing everything in his power to bring death to those who called themselves Christians. Matter of fact, he said this in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with fear and love, which is in Christ Jesus. There is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what Paul says about himself when he looks at his past obstacles? Can I say this? In his past conditions, here's what he says about himself. He says that I am the worst of any sinner. I was the chief of a sinner. Paul was a murderer. He was a rebel against the Lord Jesus. Religiously, he was a man to be envied, but intentionally, he was as wicked as any man that you have ever met. Matter of fact, Acts chapter number 7, the Bible indicates that Saul gave his approval to the murder of the first martyr of the Bible or of Christianity, and that was a man by the name of Stephen. Paul was a wicked man, but this proved to be no obstacle to the grace and to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul received Jesus into his heart, he was a changed man forever by one thing, and that was the grace of an almighty God. Your past is no obstacle to your future in the Lord's work. Regardless of what you did before you received Jesus as your Savior, it matters no longer. When He saved you, the Bible said in John chapter number 3 that there was a new birth. In other words, He said it this way, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Your past condition is no obstacle for the saving power of an almighty God. There are three records of your past, if you want to think about it this way, in the world today. First, there is the record that you carry in your mind. And can I say this to you? That's the worst one. It's the record that you carry in your mind. The things that you've done, God may have forgiven you for them, but where people struggle today is forgiving themselves. If God has forgiven you, if God has put it in the past, if God has forgot it, then who am I to bring it up in the eyes of God any longer? God's forgiven us of it. So first, there is you and you carrying it in your mind. Secondly, there's the record kept by all of those that know you. There's the record kept by all of those that know you. Third of all today, there's the record carried by Satan, and he will throw your past up over and over and over again. But can I remind you that even though I may remember my past, my friends and my family may remember my past, Satan may remember my past, there's one sitting in heaven today that when I ask him to forgive me of my past, he chose to forgive me and to remember it no more. So my past condition does not have to become an obstacle in God salvaging me today. Think about this. Through the Bible, God used people in spite of everything that they had done and their great failures. Simon Peter preached his greatest message after and had his greatest ministry after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a murderer, yet God used him for his glory. Samson sinned against God, yet he slew more Philistines at the end of his life than during his whole ministry. Abraham lied, yet he was used by God. Jacob was a deceiver, yet the Lord transformed and used him greatly. There are many others that we can name throughout the Bible today that has a treacherous past. Oh, but aren't you glad today? Your past condition is no obstacle for God. If God forgave Saul, God will forgive you. Number one, I would say this, your past condition is no obstacle. Number two, stay with me, I would say this. Your present circumstances are no obstacle. Your present circumstances are no obstacle. Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and to take them to their deaths. He was filled with hatred when you read here in chapter number 9. He was filled with hatred and wanted nothing more than to completely destroy any and to completely destroy anyone and anything connected with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet despite all of this, the Lord was able to transform this man and to use this man for His glory. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Your present circumstances, not just your past, but your very present circumstances. Yes, Paul was talking about his past, but in his present circumstance, Jesus came to where he was at. In his present condition, what he was dealing with, in the very present moment, Jesus came to him. Think about this. Can I remind you that He can do the same thing in your life and in my life? He can take us with all of the baggage that we may be carrying with us, and He can use us for His glory. We all bring certain liabilities, if you want to look at it that way, to the table. Some lack education. Others have limited resources. Some are weak in faith, while others are full of arrogance and pride. However, I want to remind you this morning that the Lord is able to meet us exactly where we're at, change what needs to be changed, and then use us greatly if we'll just allow Him to. You ever thought about Mark chapter number 5? There was a Gadarean maniac. This man was feared by everyone, but the Lord was able to take this man who had caused so much trouble and was able to use him as a witness for the glory of God. God took him where he was and used him for His glory. What about 2 Kings chapter number 7? It recounts how four leopards unexpectedly became the Savior of Jerusalem, or the Saviors of Jerusalem. God simply used them where they were despite their circumstance. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, and what I want you to understand, is that it does not matter your present circumstance. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you have done. God knows what you will do. And here's what He chooses to do today. He chooses to forgive it. He chooses to forget it. So your present circumstance is no obstacle for God salvaging you. So, preacher, you don't know what my present circumstance is. It don't matter. It's no obstacle. Number three this morning, I know I'm preaching quick, but that's all right. Number three this morning, I see his past condition was no obstacle. I see his present circumstance was no obstacle. But can I say this to you this morning? I see your personal characteristics are no obstacle. Your personal characteristics are no obstacle. Can I just say this to you this morning? God made you. Do you hear what I just said? God made you. God made you the way that you are for a certain reason. People here today, now you might as well all holler amen right here. Every one of us are different. My wife and I was talking the other day, and I mentioned somebody's name, and my wife said, well, they're different. And I said, oh, you're right. And then she said this, but I'm different too. And I said, oh, you're right. And then she said, and you are too. And I said, oh, you're right. Everybody's different this morning. And sometimes we think that because of our personal characteristics, we cannot be used by God. You know, in my personal opinion, the greatest preacher walking in shoe leather today is my dad. You'll not find no better preacher than my dad, not just because he's my dad, because he's God's man, and you cannot deny that. Let me tell you something about my dad. My dad is one of the quietest people you'll ever meet. Now, you don't know that. You don't know that. My dad, this is the truth. My mama will testify to this. My dad went out on 3 dates with my mama before he ever spoke to her the first time. That's the truth. Never even spoke to her, Brother John, for 3 dates. But you know what God done despite his personal characteristics? God took an old backwards country boy that didn't even hardly have no education, and God called him to preach and thrust him out into the ministry. And through him preaching world missions, he has literally touched the world with his ministry. Why? Because your personal characteristic is no obstacle to God salvaging you. Your personal characteristic. So, preacher, I'm just not an outgoing person. Well, God knows that. Preacher, I'm just not an outspoken person. Well, God knows that. God made you the way that you are. I'll never forget, and you've heard me tell this story before. We was at the Foothills Revival in 2016. There was a boy that had began coming to church, and Dad had started witnessing to him there at Northwood and led him to the Lord. And as he began coming to the church, Dad just kept loving on him and trying to invest in him. And he had a really bad speech impediment. And I'll never forget, Daddy came up to me, and he called his name, and he said, "Hey, Brother such and such said God called him to preach through the meeting." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." You know what, every time that young man stood to preach, and even to this day he stands up to preach, and whenever he does, that speech impediment goes away, and he preaches in the power and unction of the Holy Ghost of God. What I'm trying to get you to see today, it don't matter what your past is, it don't matter where you're at right now in the present, it don't matter your personal characteristics. There's a God that loves you, and a God that cares about you, and a God that'll take your life and will mold you and make you and use you greatly in the service of God. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what you may think your personal characteristics are. Let's just be honest. Let's come here. Let's just be real honest. When Nicholas said God called him to preach, some of y'all said, "That boy ain't spoke five words his whole life." Some of us said, we give him a little more credit, we said he ain't spoke 15 words. You know what happened, man? The first time he walked up here behind this pulpit, the Bible took over. And God transformed him. You read that in the Bible. God transformed him into another man. So, preacher, I'm just trying to get you to see this morning. Your personal characteristics does not limit who God is and what God can do. God made you, and God will use you if you'll let him. His personal characteristics. As a matter of fact, whenever you study Paul's life, he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. He said, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible." Whenever you study that word out, it means this: he's unimpressive, and his speaking ability does not match his writing ability. In other words, they said, we read his writings and think, wow. But when we see him and when we hear him, we think, wow. There's two different wows right there. I hope you got it. When we read his letter, it's wow. When we hear him and we see him, it's a wow. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying this: it don't matter what you look like. It don't matter what others think about you. If you'll simply give yourself to Christ, it'd be amazing what he would do with you. If we get into the business of comparing ourselves to others, then we're in for a rough ride. Many of us have personal characteristics that may make us feel as we cannot be used effectively for God. However, I would like to remind you that God can take what we consider a weakness and use us anyway. He excels in taking the weak and foolish things of this world and using them in a great way. Matter of fact, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. Moses was 80 years old when the Lord called him into the ministry. Think about this. He was not eloquent, according to chapter number 4, verse number 10. He was filled with fear, according to Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. He was completely opposed to the Lord's plan for his life in chapter 4, verse 13. Yet despite all these obstacles and all these fears and everything that was going on in his life, God used Moses to be one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had. God used a young Jewish girl named Esther to save his people from slaughter. God used an unnamed boy or an unknown boy by the name of David to be the greatest king that Israel ever had. God used a beggar by the name of Lazarus to preach daily to a rich man. God used 12 unknown men to society from various walks of life to literally turn the world upside down in Acts chapter number 17. Whenever we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, in the world's eyes, he had strikes against him. Many saw him as no more than the son of Mary and Joseph. Moses, or most, thought there was no way God could use someone that come out of Nazareth. Others questioned that he came from Galilee. Some even said that Jesus was nothing more than a tool of Satan. But that day on Calvary, when he laid his life down willingly, God took him in his personal characteristics, in his present circumstances, laid the sin of the past condition of all men on him, and he died and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave 3 days later. God can salvage you today. God can salvage you. God can salvage you. No matter who you are, where you come from, what problems you face, what personality quirks you have, your level of education, or how much acceptance you have from others, God can and will use you if you'll make yourself available to him. Number four this morning, and I'm done. Your past condition is no obstacle. Your present circumstances are no obstacle. Your personal characteristics are no obstacle. Number four, and I really preached all morning to get right here because this is where a lot of people lives at. Your private concerns are no obstacle. Your private concerns. I say this to you today. A lot of people live a lie in front of others. Okay, let me say it again. A lot of people live a lie in front of others. A lot of times we come to church and whether we got our suit on or whatever we got on, and we put a smile on our face and we act like everything's just Hakuna Matata. Everything's just a bed of roses and everything's just wonderful. But boy, deep down inside, we're dying. We're dying. Brother Williams, Brother Bash, y'all both pastored, so I think you'll agree with me in what I'm fixing. Sometimes we're the greatest hypocrite because our world can literally be falling in all around us. But when we walk to the pulpit on Sunday morning, we've got a smile on our face. Boy, isn't it good to be in church today, Brother John? You grew up in a preacher's home. How many times have you got off that old bus years ago? Mom and Daddy wondering what was going to happen next, wondering how bills are going to be paid. Daddy discouraged, borderline depressed. Didn't know what anxiety was then, but was fighting all those things too. And walked in, got a Bible, walked to the pulpit and said, hallelujah, it's good to be in church today. Boy, isn't God good? Man, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Hey, it's preaching time today. God's good. And before you know it, everybody's up shouting. Shakes everybody's hand. Oh, how's it? Brother Stanman, praying for you. I love you. Appreciate you. Message you sent me this week. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Miss Shannon, praying for you. Peyton, man, I'm praying the Lord to help you be a good, godly young teenager. Brother Josh, those things you talked to me about, I'm praying for you. Brother Brian, I'm praying for you. I know you've been battling some things. And we go through everybody's problems with them as they go out the door. And then the preacher goes home and he's still got all his problems. And sometimes we're real good at hiding our private concerns. I wrote some things down. Some of you are in a fight. For some, the battle is depression that won't loosen its grip. Miss Daniel, you come start playing others. Come start playing softly. For others, it's loneliness that creeps in when the lights go out. Some are fighting the quiet war of inferiority, never feeling good enough, never measuring up, never feeling accepted. Some of you keep replaying the sins and failures of days gone by, as if the enemy has chained you to a post. Can I just say that again? Because if we're real honest, there's a lot of us lives right there some days, and some of you keep replaying the sins and failures of days gone by. It seems the enemy's changed you to your post or to your past. You can't get away from it. Whatever name your weakness carries, hear this clearly. It only becomes an obstacle if you surrender to it. To the Lord, your problem is nothing. The battlefield you fear is the very place where God loves to display His power. He has a long history of taking weak vessels and using them to confound the strong, to shame the proud, and to silence the enemy. God can step into the middle of your weakness, pick you up right where you are, and use your life as a living testimony of His grace. The secret is not strength. The secret is not talent. The secret is not willpower. The secret is very simple. It's surrender. That's where the secret's at. Surrender. When we come to the place when we stop fighting God and start yielding to Him, and He takes the battle. You see, when we try to overcome our past, we are fighting the battle and we will lose. But when we come to the place when we lay it down at Him and we say, I'm dying to me. I'm no more walking in my power. I'm no more walking in my strength. I'm no more walking in my knowledge. I'm choosing today to lay it at your feet. And I, here it is, surrender my past, surrender my present, surrender my personal obstacles, everything that is, Lord, here it is. I surrender it to You. When you stop fighting and start yielding to Him, He takes the battle and fights the battle for you. As long as you want to fight the battle, you can. But you don't have to. Did you hear me? You don't have to. Let me remind you where we started at. In Acts chapter number 9, we started on a dusty road to Damascus. Saul wasn't looking for Jesus. He wasn't praying for forgiveness. He wasn't trying to clean up his life. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. But Jesus stepped into his path anyway. In one moment, grace interrupted his past, overruled his present, overcame his weakness, and settled his private battles. Saul met a man who could salvage him in spite of everything. This morning, I say that same man that Saul met is here today. Your past condition is no obstacle. Your present circumstances are no obstacle. Your personal characteristics are no obstacle. Your private concerns, those silent battles that you're fighting that nobody else sees, well, guess what? They're no obstacles. The only thing that can stop God from using your life is an unsurrendered heart. God is not asking you to fix yourself. He's not asking you to be stronger. He's not asking you to be better. If we get a hold of this, He's not asking you to be smarter. He's not asking you to be more impressive. He's simply asking you one thing: yield. Because when a life is surrendered, God takes responsibility of everything else. He takes broken pieces and makes them useful. He takes failures and turns them into testimonies. He takes nobodies and makes them somebodies so that they can influence everybody. You may feel unusable, discarded, or beyond repair, but I know a man this morning that can salvage you. He salvaged Saul and turned him into Paul. He salvaged fishermen. He salvaged failures. He salvaged leopards. He salvaged liars. He can salvage you. I leave you with this. The question is not, can God use your life? That's not the question today. The question is this: will you give God your life? It's not, will God use you? David was the most unlikely. He was the most, even his own dad, he was the most unlikely. But you know what he done? He surrendered himself. And look at what God done with his life. Preacher, I wish I had a nickel for every time I'd heard this. Preacher, do you really think God can use me? Especially when we worked in juvenile correctional facilities. Preacher, do you really think God can use me? A young lady by the name of Brianna, who was 12 years old, pulling juvenile life for attempted murder of her mama, stood with tears running down her face, and she said, "Preacher, do you really think God will forgive me and God will use me?" I said, "Honey, I don't think, I know." A young man that was involved in one of the very early school shootings that was pulling juvenile life without parole, stood in Memphis, Tennessee, and said, "Preacher, do you really think God will use me?" I stood that day with tears running down my face and looked at a lost teenage boy, lost in his soul, lost in his life, hair growed way out down his back. And I said, "Son, it's not a question of if God will use you. The question is, will you let God use you?" We saw that young man give his heart to Christ. He came back the next day and had cut all of his hair off. Didn't even recognize him. And he said, "Preacher, I just can't explain the peace that I have." And since then, has finished his sentence and began giving his testimony. You said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this: I know a God that'll salvage you today. A God, you said, "Preacher, you're preaching like we're a bunch of heathen sitting here today." We are. And the truth of the matter is this: if you'll swallow your stinking pride, there's some private concerns inside of your life today, and you're questioning a lot of things. If you'll quit fighting that battle and you'll surrender that battle to Christ, you can leave out of here a changed person today, and God can salvage you.